Do I think it's outside the realm of possibility? No. Like, this idea had to come from somewhere, right? Like, someone in the writer's room got called in high school.
They're like, you know when your parents called you in high school? And everyone's like, no.
Yeah, and this, like, the high school principal's secretary was there, and she was really annoyed because we were all using her phone, and you had to dial 9 to get out.
Back to you, Bob.
And welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 417, Admissions, which originally aired on April 11th, 2001. Things are warming up.
It's my birthday week.
Yeah, it is.
April 15th, and this episode was a little present. They mentioned that it's April in the episode.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
The secretary at the principal's office says she can't wait for April to be over. So I knew it was April.
That's really funny. I didn't catch that.
What is our Dawson's drink?
We're drinking a Manhattan. It is rye whiskey, sweet vermouth, Angostura bitters, and a cherry. Manhattan is my go-to drink. Like, if I don't know what I want, I'll just get a Manhattan. Love a Manhattan.
That's so funny. It was my mom's drink.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, too strong for me.
Not a fan?
I like it. I, you know, like a sippy. Like, I'll split it with somebody. I can't really have one by myself. But maybe, you know, it's been a while since I've had one. My taste for whiskey has changed over the years, so maybe I can.
I was going to say, it's just a flavor thing because you drink martinis, and that's, like, from a strength perspective, the same.
Now, are some Manhattans made with brandy? I think my mom's were brandy.
Yeah, you can do a brandy Manhattan, for sure. I should try that.
Well, April 11th, eh?
April 11th.
Well, I'm going to dive into the recap.
Please do.
So episode 417, Admissions, opens with Joey in the cafeteria with Jen, while Dawson is in class with Jack. Jen reveals that she and Jack have each been accepted to the same 5 colleges, and they've decided to go to school together, but now they just need to agree on which one. Joey, who hasn't heard anything yet, quietly stews in her own anxiety. So just then, Joey and Dawson are both called to the principal's office. They arrive at the same time and learn that they've each received a message to call home. College acceptance letters have arrived. Joey is overjoyed to learn that she got into Worthington, her dream school, while Dawson is devastated to find out that he was rejected from NYU Film School, one of his dream schools. So despite the disappointment, Dawson encourages Joey to celebrate. He really wants her to be happy. An overjoyed Pacey takes Joey home so they can read the letter together privately. He thinks she won't really believe it until she has eyes on the letter herself. So when they arrive, they find that Bodie and Bessie are already planning a barbecue to celebrate Joey's acceptance. She's the first Potter to get into college, let alone a prestigious college like Worthington. So meanwhile, Jack is really excited about the idea of going to school in New York. But Jen, who's always been gung-ho about the idea, is starting to retreat from it. Even though she's always called it the best city in the world, something about returning feels wrong, and she's not sure why. So Dawson puts on a brave face for Gail and says he's fine about the rejection from NYU. But later, when he's alone with Gretchen, he opens up to her, admitting that he's scared that this means that he won't get into USC either. Gretchen reminds him that Mr. Brooks never went to a film school. And look at him. She suggests that Dawson could use the inheritance from Mr. Brooks to make a film instead. What better education is there than that? Dawson isn't sure yet, but the idea resonates. So Joey is still in disbelief over her Worthington acceptance, and she's waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, she's waiting for something to go wrong. But Pacey assures her that her dream is coming true, just like his did. His dream was to be with her, and her dream is to go to Worthington. But it's not long until Joey's dream comes crashing down. She gets Worthington's financial package, and she learns that she will owe $15,000 a year, money that Bessie and she just do not have. It turns out, because the B&B is actually doing pretty well, that the Potters no longer qualified for the financial aid that they used to. Joey is crushed, but she insists that the barbecue go on as planned, and asks Bessie not to tell anyone. So with the barbecue in full swing, Jen and Jack get into a fight when Jen says that there's nothing for her in New York and she really does not want to go. Jack pushes her and doesn't think that she should let her issues with her parents hold her back and stop her from going. He urges her to keep going to therapy and figure out what's at the root of this. Also at the barbecue, Mitch and Gail arrive with another letter for Dawson, this time from USC, and it turns out he got in. The joy of Dawson getting into his dream school is a little too much for Joey, and she runs inside upset. Dawson follows her, and she breaks down, confessing the truth about the Worthington tuition. Dawson offers her the money that Mr. Brooks left him. Joey refuses. Dawson says that Mr. Brooks wanted him to do something great with the money, and allowing Joey to go to her dream school is something great. Joey cannot accept this, but Dawson asks her to promise she'll consider it. So meanwhile, Dr. Frost and Jen talk about Jack in New York City in college, and he agrees with Jack and suggests that Jen talk to someone who knew her then, someone who can shed light on the last few days she had in New York City before she came to Capeside. This sends her to Drew, but Drew refuses to tell her anything. Eventually, Drew does arrive at Jen's door, and he tells her the truth. Jen got drunk and high and deliberately used Drew to provoke her father. They were already heated because the decision had already been made to send Jen to Capeside after they found her with Billy. The confrontation between Jen and her father escalated. He called her a slut. She called him a hypocrite. But then her dad threw Drew out before he can really find out anything more. Drew tells Jen that he had real feelings for her back then, and it really hurt that she used him to hurt her dad. Jen apologizes, acknowledging that she did do that. Drew admits that he was heartbroken, which is why he didn't want to revisit this when Jen first came to him, but he thinks that Jen deserves to know the truth. With Dr. Frost, Jen realizes that she doesn't blame her parents for what happened to her. She blames herself, and she needs to let herself off the hook or she will never really live or shine. She needs to release some of that guilt. But Jen admits to Dr. Frost that she doesn't know what exactly she's running from. There's obviously something about her and her dad's fight that she can't remember, but he assures her that the answer will come to her when she's ready. So later, Joey goes to Dawson and tells him that she's thought about it, but she cannot take the money, not if she's lying to him. She tells Dawson everything about her and Pacey and having sex. Dawson is upset and angry, and he cannot believe after everything they've gone through that Joey didn't trust him enough to tell him the truth. So Joey goes home and she tells Pacey that she told Dawson the truth. Pacey understands, but admits that when he first heard about her financial trouble with Worthington, a part of him felt relieved because it meant that she might stay. He also confesses that sometimes he feels like he's holding her back, and he tells Joey to please let him go if she ever starts to feel that way. Joey refuses, saying she will never let him go no matter what. In the end, Dawson chooses forgiveness over anger. He arrives at Joey's house with a check and tells her that their friendship is still very important to him. He wants her to go to Worthington and have the best years of her life, and he can't wait to hear all about it. Joey accepts the money. And that is episode 417, Admissions.
So much happened in this one. This is a heavy one.
This was a big one. This was interesting because Jen's storyline did not really wrap up, and I like that. There's a little bit of a mystery. There's a little bit of a,
Yeah.
It wasn't tied up in a bow.
It wasn't. I liked that we got to see a lot of different dynamics at play too.
And there were little hints of things, which we'll get into. Like the side eye that Gail gave Dawson and Gretchen when they were kissing was just kind of like a little bit of a callback to Gail's issues with their age, but you know, they've got over that. But it was just enough. Mm-hmm. There was a lot going on. So who wrote episode 417, Admissions?
This episode was written by Barb Seiberts. This person, I'm perplexed. So Barb has one credit for production staff on one episode of Hiller and Diller.
Not Hiller and Diller.
She was a writer's assistant on The Middle.
Mm-hmm.
She was a script coordinator on 24. She was a post-production supervisor on two episodes of Homeland. And she has one writing credit, which is this episode of Dawson's Creek.
Barb, what's going on there?
Barb, Jane of all trades.
What about Barb? Sounds like she got a little taste of writing and maybe didn't like it. So back to production she went.
I guess, but like, what a mixed bag. I don't know. So, I mean, it could be she's only credited for one episode across some of those things, but like sometimes IMDb, unless somebody on the show side is keeping up IMDb, it doesn't credit you for every episode. It only credits you for the episodes that you get screen credit on. So it could be that she worked on the whole thing, but I'm just like imagining Barb popping in saying, yeah, I'll do this episode and then popping out. Okay, Barb.
Barb's chill. She's like Bodhi.
Exactly.
She pops in when they need her. Cool, whips up a barbecue.
Classic Bodhi. She is a real Bodhi. I don't know. So it was a good episode.
It fit in pretty seamlessly with the rest of the series. I thought I didn't notice any tonal, you know, irregularities.
No. Way to go, Barb. Another thing for your resume. One episode of Dawson's Creek.
Admissions. Double entendre.
Mm.
What about director?
This episode was directed by Lev L. Spiro, L being the middle name, the middle initial.
What a name. He's directed episode before, right?
He has not. So he has 75 directing credits starting in 1994. He had episodes of Gilmore Girls, Everwood. He did the Summerland pilot, which like pilot directing used to be a really big thing when there used to be pilots. You would be like an executive producer on the series. He directed American Dreams, The OC, One Tree Hill, Arrested Development, Ugly Betty, Weeds, Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, which is a callback to our pal JVDB, Modern Family, Unreal. Most recently, he directed a TV movie called The Waltons Homecoming. On episodes of TV, most recently, he did episodes of The Tick, Insatiable, and Dolly Parton's Heartstrings. He also, interestingly, did some writing under the name L.L. Shapira.
Wow.
He has 7 writing credits, and he did some acting in small parts. He has 9 acting credits. Again, Barb, Lev, what's going on here?
Well, he has a great career.
He does. Yeah, no, he has a ton of credits. I just picked out the ones that spoke to me and felt like they were in the Dawson's verse, but he has a ton of stuff. And I think he's still at it. So this was his first episode with us, and he'll be back for one more next season.
I love his name.
Lev L.
Now, what about guest cast shout out?
There was only one new person in this episode. I almost glanced right over her. Her name is Tammy Arnold, and she plays the office assistant who we talked about earlier. She has 45 acting credits starting in 1980. She has a very small role in this episode, but you can tell she's been making her rounds on all the shows and projects that shoot in the South. She has had episodes of Matlock, Unsolved Mysteries, American Gothic, Homicide, Life on the Streets, Homeland, Ozark, and Council of Dads. My mom loved that show, Council of Dads.
I never heard of it.
My mom really keeps up with network TV. I don't know how she does it.
Now, let me say, this lady left an impression.
Did she? You liked it?
Yeah, because just her one line was like, I got everything I needed to know. She's a flustered, like, middle-aged, hates her job, sick of these kids, doesn't want to interact with them. She sold it.
Yeah. Can't wait for that phone to stop ringing. God, please wake me up when April ends.
What was the character's name?
Office assistant.
Oh, well, look, she's had it. She's had it. She's at the end of a rope.
Let's name her Barb in honor.
Barb.
Barb's had it. Barb's pissed.
Barb is pissed. Your father's pissed. She's like, if I get one more goddamn kid, it's all.
Well, she also has a career as an acting and dialogue coach. So Tammy's no fool. She's doing things.
I'm not even joking when I tell you, I really believe her line delivery was amazing.
Well, she's enriching the youth with her skills. She's passing along all of everything she knows.
Praise be.
Also, not a guest cast shout out, but it's always good to see Bodhi's face. We finally get a little bit of Bodhi in this episode. We hear about him a lot, but we don't see him that much.
I just get so sad when I see him now because I know the actor's passed away, but
we gotta enjoy him.
Agree. And Bessie, you know, looking good.
I have stuff to say about these two, but I'll save it. How about music moment?
I didn't have any. You know, I really scoured for this. I know the band, some of the bands featured in the episode, but I didn't have any.
I didn't have any either, but I really liked the one song Bye Bye by Marcy Playground. Didn't know it, never heard it, but when it was on, I was like, oh, I like this song.
Yeah. I think we all know what our past versus presents are going to be.
Go ahead.
The $15,000.
Yeah.
Now, I've asked my Amazon device to adjust for inflation and tell me how much money that would be today. And she said $28,000. Now, I understand that is a lot of money, right? I get it. However, do I feel like it is enough money that would have stopped Joey from saying no to her dream school? No, I don't.
Absolutely not.
As someone who, a character that has worked consistently since we've seen her, 2 jobs, 3 jobs, I don't buy that she would have, even in 2000, 2001 standards, I don't know. So that was the biggest bump for me. It probably was a lot of money when I was 17 and I heard it. And I still think it's a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But do I think, you know, she couldn't have worked a job and earned $15,000 a year? Am I just soaking in my privilege or?
No, I was riding along with it until the guidance counselor said to her, you can always take out a loan. And she's like, I'm not doing that. Like, what? You're not going to take out a loan for your dream?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Like, she could get $15,000. So she takes out one loan for $15,000, works through school, which is the Potter way.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, oh man, I could never. Like, no, she's a grinder. She could work through school. And I understand she also has to support herself and eat food and stuff. I'm sure she has to spend money, but like,
yeah.
No, it just seemed like a weird hurdle.
And like when Dawson offered the money, I was just like, well, just give me like $30,000. I'll make $30,000 in the next 3 years, or at least 15. You know, maybe they just shouldn't have given us an amount. Like, yeah. Maybe they just shouldn't have told us an amount.
left it ambiguous.
Yeah, because when I asked the Amazon device to adjust for inflation, I thought she was going to say like 80 grand or something.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't pay for college all at once. You pay by year. So.
No, I'm with you. I found it really distracting. And I also thought it was very out of character for Joey to be like, I should have applied for more scholarships. Like, Joey's going to apply for every scholarship that exists.
Yeah.
I understand that she thought she would get the full ride because they don't have any money or whatever. But like, I feel like she would be covering all her bases. And now she's like, oh, man.
Yeah. And something that I didn't understand then and I still don't understand is how the B&B doing well.
I guess because Bessie is her guardian. So her financials are tied to Bessie's financials. And I guess who knows what Bessie's doing on her books. But somehow Bessie is showing an income, even though she says she isn't.
Yeah, I mean, look, they had to pay. Did they even have to pay the construction workers for the Potter B&B? Because Pacey got all those like alternative police officers. What are they called?
Right. Yeah.
What are they called?
I don't remember. They had the cavalry come in.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I'm sure Bessie has debt. But anyway, I mean, again, like, I don't know. There were liberties taken, which is fine. It's a TV show. You have to just buy certain things. But that was my past versus present. Also, like, I still stand in my firm belief that Dr. Frost is a creep and he is a weirdo and he's the lady killer and he was calling her beautiful and stuff. Oh, so weird.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about that too. Let's just open it up.
Let's do it.
All right, well, let's start at the beginning just so I don't go on a 5-minute tangent about Dr. Frost. Okay, this first scene bothered me so much.
Me too. What bothered you?
Well, who calls their kids at school with college admissions? And also, what are these parents just sitting at home collecting the mail as it comes in? Shouldn't they be at work? Like, is this common practice that I don't know about to call your kid at school and open up their college admissions?
No, we're bothered by different things.
What did it bother you?
I was bothered by like, why is Joey like smelling her food and like sick? I was like, is this a pregnancy episode?
100% thought that as well. The first scene, I was like, are they trying to do a pregnancy thing?
She's like sniffing her like pasta bolognese or something. And she's like, ugh, this is disgusting. And it's like, Joey, there's a breadstick right there. Just eat the breadstick.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a really, and it's the first shot of the episode. It's very bizarre.
And then Jen comes in again. Jen is like full klutz this season.
Full klutz.
Jen is in her sitcom era. She's just gonna fall flat on the ground and spill her college admissions folders just everywhere.
Jen is either full klutz or full trauma. There's no in between for Jen this season.
But to your point, someone like drops Joey a note at the cafeteria.
Joey and Dawson both get official letterhead notes from the office.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. They both get these notes. Tammy, God bless her, is there to deliver her line of the whole episode. She is very tired. I can tell by her eyes. Okay. So then she's like, you guys got to call your parents. Would they call down two students at the same time to make one phone call? Like all of this. I get it. Again, we got to just go with it. Whatever. They called down the two of them to call their parents. Not like their parents were on the phone. To call their parents to find out. And then Dawson doesn't get in and Joey gets in. Why, as a parent, would you call the school? No. You'd be like, here's the thing. I'm going to wait until I get home and we'll open it up. I'm really upset about this.
Tammy's a star. Dial 9 to get out. Do you remember dialing 9 to get out?
Yeah, I do.
It was the best. Look, Tammy's got two phones. And she's like,
she's not afraid to use them.
She's got a fax. She's sending faxes. Would I call my kid at school to tell them
that they got a piece of mail?
Probably not. But again, I don't know. I didn't live this experience. My parents worked, so like they weren't around.
Yeah, me too. That's
like,
what I'm
checking
saying.
Checking for the mail. But do I think it's outside the realm of possibility? No. Like this idea had to come from somewhere, right? Like someone in the writer's room got called in high school.
They're like, you know when your parents called you in high school? And everyone's like, no.
Yeah, and this like the high school principal's secretary was there and she was really annoyed because we were all using her phone and you had to dial 9 to get out. I'm sure it happened. But nowadays, you would just text your kid and be like, right? Like, oh my God, Stanford sent their thing.
Yeah.
Now, What is this, like, Jen and Jack have heard from their schools already? So are we just supposed to buy that, like, USC and NYU and Worthington are more prestigious, so they take longer, and then Jen and Jack get applied to, like, easier schools?
University of New York.
Yeah, so, like, their admissions are coming. Because, like, not only did they get their admissions, like, they've known. You get the impression that Jen and Jack have known. Like, they have the folders, they have movies, they have, like, the debate is old. Because when it starts out, the debate is old. Jack doesn't want to talk about it anymore. Like, they're going to New York.
And they are both, it's canon, they're the ones that didn't apply until last minute.
Yeah, the day of the Christmas party, the day of the Leary Christmas party. So, wait, do you think it's that? Do you think it's that they applied to easier schools to get into and, like, you hear?
Yeah, I think so. Or just that it's, like, you know, they roll in within the same 2 weeks or whatever across all schools, and it just so happened that was the case. I don't know.
Okay, well, Dawson's like, girl, my life is a mess, but you should be happy for your, you know, you and your success.
Celebrate, honey.
And she's like, I don't know. And then Pacey comes with his weird ass haircut. It's all I can look at.
He looks like a toddler. I don't know what's happening.
And guess what? I watched this episode on Hulu, and coming off the Run Like Mad or whatever the hell it's called. What is it called? Love Like Mad?
No, Run Like Mad. Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, it's trash. And just coming off of that and seeing that haircut, it's so triggering.
Can't take all of this at once. It's too much.
I can only go through so much.
The shirt, the haircut, the song.
And I'm in recovery. Oh my God. Should we give the elbow update? So the elbow update is I had surgery.
Yes.
They found a mass. The mass is out. Also, my bursa is out. I don't really know what that is, but it's out.
We've excised the bursa.
So my elbow is on fire and I have to listen to Run Like Mad and see this haircut.
It's too much. It is way too much. Do you find yourself having trouble not putting your elbow on things, like to lean? Like, do you keep hitting it or no?
No. Like, it's the pain is like never not there. So it's like I'm very aware of my elbow. The doctor just called me and they were like, how's the pain level? And I said 8. And they were like, that's very high to be like 5 days out. And I was like, well, I have to work during the day. So I'm not taking the oxy. Like, I have to have my faculties about me.
Right.
And they were like, well, take the oxy. And I was like, I have a job. Like, I can't be on Zoom, like falling asleep because I'm high on oxy. Plus, I have to drink during my Dawson's Creek podcast tonight. Like, I can't mix like an oxy in Manhattan. Like, I'm not Abby Morgan. I'm not trying to die here. So I've just been taking like Tylenol, and they were like, well, take the oxy. But they also told me to take the bandages off. So I just took the bandages off for the first time. The problem is they give you these instructions like when you're coming out of anesthesia. So like, you don't remember, like, what? They were like, we told you to take the bandage off after 24 hours. And I was like, did you? I don't remember that.
No, they need to like pin a little note to your shirt. And you can find it the next day.
They did send me home with instructions, but you know what they didn't send me home with?
What?
My Beats by Dre headphones. They're gone.
That's devastating.
I know. It's too much.
It's and too now much. Run Like Mad. Oh my God.
And now Run Like Mad and Pacey's haircut. But anyway, it's out, it's off, it's up, it's up, up is down, left is right. Pacey's really happy for her. He's like, girl, you got into Worthington. I'm going to twirl you around this hall.
Your dream, Joe. It's your dream, baby girl.
He's like, let's go home and look at the letter because you're not going to believe it until you see it. And she's like, what about sixth period? And he's like, well, what are they going to do? Not let you into college?
And she's like, okay.
I love when you do your impression of Joey.
I like her orange sweater. She doesn't really wear orange that much.
I freaking love. What is this, like cable knit?
Yeah, it's like a coral cable knit.
I love a coral cable knit. I love a coral. I love a cable knit. I love a coral cable knit.
Oh my God. What could be better?
Do you remember like the smell of these like college, what even were they? Magazines? Like the preview books they would send you?
With the stiff paper. I love the way those things smell. I love that.
And it's so sad now because like they probably don't even send those now. It's probably like an email.
Oh, it's 100% a link. They're like, click this link to see if you got in. And it's like, am I going to get into college or are you going to steal all my money through a phishing scam? I don't know. I hate the internet.
What are you supposed to smell now?
Nothing.
Every year, though, I do get very engrossed in like the reaction videos, I guess. Of, like, people. Oh,
love that.
I cry. I laugh.
I'm actually glad you brought that up because I I'm on a new med and I have found I can't cry on it. So maybe I'll test it with the admission videos. People coming home from war.
I was just going to say soldiers coming home to their dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9/11 tapes.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm going to rack up a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
My partner just told me that he had one. He saw one on the news that was about all the little girls who got swept away from camp. I'm putting that one on the list.
You know what I was going to say? There are really sad 911 tapes for the Texas floods, but I felt like that was a little too, like, fresh.
Devastating.
Oh, when Derek dies on Grey's Anatomy.
Well, if anything is going to make me shed a tear.
Bessie's bangs?
Bessie's bangs. Bessie and Bodhi are the funniest couple to me. He is so put together. He's like telling her the list of things that he wants to get for this barbecue. And she's like, Bodhi, slow down. I can't keep up with you. She has the hack job bangs. Like, she is a mess.
He really is just like rosemary, 40 pounds of chicken, orange juice. That's like all he wants. And she's like, Bodhi, heaven.
She's like, you're talking too fast.
I can only ride so hard. We've turned her into a Southern belle.
I'm doing my best, honey.
Bessie has been hitting. She's got buns of steel. Look at her butt in this skirt. I mean, you can crack an egg on it. And Bodhi just might for this barbecue.
If she remembers to buy them, he's going to crack an egg on them. I just Googled today, are we still allowed to say there are probably a few ways to skin the cat? Skin the cat? Like, are we allowed to say that anymore? It was seemed fine, but somebody said, what can I say instead of skin the cat? And somebody said, crack an egg. There's got to be a couple ways to crack an egg.
I don't like that. There's only one way to crack an egg. I would just say skin the cat. Who's going to get mad? PETA? Like, what don't they get mad about?
True.
There's more than one way to skin a cat.
You heard it here first. I'm not afraid to get edgy. So they come home and Bessie's like, can you show our girl the letter? And Bodhi's like, let me go dig it up. What, do they put it in their files already? We're like, you got in, kid. And then they just put it away. You had to go get it.
Put it with the rest of our correspondence.
Put it with your accounting books, Bessie. It's just a stack of post-its.
They don't have money for college, but she had money to afford a new haircut, new bangs, new dye job.
A personal trainer.
Duncan Hines chocolate chips.
All that wallpaper. Wallpaper is not cheap.
I love their floral navy wallpaper.
Well,
love.
Good, because Joey can't get an education because they spent all their money on wallpaper. Dawson, the door rings at Dawson's and he's like, Mom, you shouldn't be going to the door in your condition. Because she's pregnant, I guess. I also really like Gil's sweater in this scene. Got cute little flowers.
That's you. That's you.
Not for you.
I'm okay. Well, yeah, she's about ready to pop. So he's like, Mom.
He's like, Mom, you're in your 40s and you're pregnant. Get out of here. Go lay down.
This is a geriatric pregnancy, ma'am. You can't be answering the door in this condition.
And Gretchen's like, hey, babe. She just tongues him down right at the door.
And Gail's like, you're a disgusting harlot. Get your hands off my 17-year-old son.
And she's like, oh, hey, Gail.
Hey, boss. Then Gail's like, Gretch, like, talk him down. He's in bad shape. And he's like, Mom, I'm fine. Go away. And then Gail leaves. And Dawson's like, thank God you're here, Gretch. Like, I'm ready to kill myself.
She's like, don't kill yourself. AI Brooks didn't go to college.
And look at him now.
Dead with no one at his funeral.
And they come up with the idea that, like, look, you don't even need an education. You could just use Mr. Brooks's money that he left you to, like, make a movie that's just as good as going to college.
So what do we think? Do we think that he left him $100,000, $60,000? Do you think it's 60 on the dot? Like, what do we think?
I'm going to go with, like, 100K, right?
I buy it.
That was the number they should have given us. Not this freaking $15,000 a year thing.
And she's like, I could never take out a loan for $15,000. It's like, well, then you're not going to survive very long, honey, because you're taking out loans left and right in adulthood. Let me tell you.
She's like, I cannot start out my life that way. I'm sorry. Like, what?
Every other person of your generation.
That's going to be the red mark against you? Like, your dad's a drug dealer? Like, I mean, that's the mark against you?
Get it together.
Also, at this point, what does she even want to major in? Like, does she still want to draw like bananas? Like, what is she going to major in?
I don't think she knows. She just had one goal and now her goal is here and she's spying. Let's talk about your favorite person, Dr. Frost.
Dr. Frost is a creep and a half.
I'm really glad that they told us that she goes like 3 or 4 times a week because they're so familiar with each other. Like the way that he talks to her, I'm like, ugh. But then I'm like, okay, well, she's been going for whatever, weeks, months, we don't know, hours and hours a week.
Yeah. And if, I mean, if you need therapy 4 times a week, that's like, that's bad.
Yeah. And she's not, I mean, I guess that he's trying to get her to scratch the surface, but she's not like doing anything.
Mm-mm.
She's not doing any heavy lifting.
Is this wig or real?
I think this is real. So what I'm wondering is those two episodes where she came back, I'm wondering if it was a different wig that looked a little more real and now this is real. Because her hair is very kind of like honey blonde or like a little bit warmer, like darker blonde.
Yeah, it's definitely darker.
I definitely think it's real, though.
They're trying to get to the bottom of why Jen is very against New York City. She doesn't really know. This is the scene where she basically realizes there is some reason that has to do with her parents that she doesn't want to go back to New York City. And she's like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And he's like, do you want to leave or do you want to like stay and find out? And then that's where it basically ends. So it's basically setting up that there's something. This doesn't just have to do with colleges. There's a reason that Jen doesn't want to go back there. But it's very funny because at the end, she's like, I want to go. I want to go. And she's like covering her mouth with her sweater or her hands or something. It's very funny. And then we get some Joey Pacey cuteness. She's waiting for the other shoe to drop. And he's like, you're getting your dream, girl. I got my dream. You.
Every time I look at you, very cute.
And he's carrying a huge sack of charcoal. And then look, Worthington, they're going to send you an acceptance letter and they're going to send you the financial package the same day.
And they're going to come separate.
Or is it the next day?
No, I'm either pretty way. Sure.
Either way. Oh, right. So Dawson and Gretchen went out at night. So it is the next day. There's a costume change. But the next day, boom.
Pacey's got on a new hideous shirt. I adore this pea coat and ribbed turtleneck sweater combo that Joey is rocking.
I love a pea coat.
And again, Bessie, little freak, comes over and says, you're back. It looks like everyone RSVP'd. She has like a real weird tone in this episode.
Very motherly, very proud mama.
Yeah.
They go to the high school guidance counselor who we love, the sassy redhead from the Christmas party.
Miss Watson.
And she's like, girl, you guys are doing too well.
And Joey's like, what do you mean? And she's like, I didn't say it was fair, babe. It's just the way that it is.
You flew too close to the sun, girl. Be careful what you wish for. Am I right? Joey's getting a little toot with Miss Watson. I mean, it's not Miss Watson's fault.
Yeah, she's not the bursar, Joe. Take it up with somebody else.
Miss Watson and Tammy are going to the bar after this. They're going to be like,
they really are. We know Miss Watson likes to drink. We saw her at the Christmas party.
There's Jen Lindley. We all know she likes to bounce. Poor Miss Watson and Tammy. Anyway, justice for Miss Watson and Tammy.
Miss Watson's crossing off like every school day on her calendar, like, get me out of here. These kids.
One day closer to retirement, 20 years left. Also, why does Dawson drive such a hot car?
I know. Is this new?
I've seen it before. I've seen it before in my dreams.
Topless Jeep.
I love a Jeep.
I love a Jeep. And Joey's like, Bessie, if you tell anyone that I didn't get the money, I'm going to be so pissed.
She's like, look, no one will know. And she has tears streaming down her face. And if we don't tell them, no one will know. Bessie's like, okay, girl.
She's like, hey, Dawson. Eyes are red.
He's like, look, I got you a cake. It says congratulations.
She's like, cool, thanks.
She's like white knuckle. She is like barely hanging on.
No, she really isn't. She is gritting her teeth. Gritting.
He's like, hey girl, everyone's here to celebrate you.
She's like to Dawson, she's like, hey Dawson, and she's like really putting on a face, and Bessie's like, hey, and she's like, Bessie didn't tell you the news.
Well, her hair has never looked better. Financial woes, apparently, you know, volumizes your hair within an inch of its life.
Hair great, clothes great. The scene where she's talking with Pacey was so annoying to me because they used two different takes, obviously, and it keeps cutting between her with her turtleneck folded down and her with her turtleneck folded up.
Oh my God.
It was really annoying me, but
I didn't notice that, but now it's going to be all I see. Actually, you know what? Like, his shirt was just so distracting. Like, what are with these shirts?
It's the shirt hair combo. Like, you can have one or the other. You can't have both. If you're giving us this hair, you got to put them in cute shirts.
Okay. Now that you've pointed it out, I am living for when her turtleneck is turned up.
I know. Flipped up.
Yes. It's so dramatic. And like,
it is.
But when it's turned down, it's like,
classic Potter. Gretchen catches a glimpse of Pacey and she can tell something's wrong and she assumes that it's that he's not going to college. Also, Gretchen's style icon, as we always say, is wearing purple tights, brown boots, blue shirt, jean skirt, brown jacket. That's all.
Love it. Love it. Love her.
It's very autumnal, but it's not autumn. Jen is wearing an orange sweater.
Yeah, it's giving definitely winter. It reminds me of the Thanksgiving episode from season 3, but like you said, it's airing in April, so they filmed it in February, probably. Late February. So they're cold.
They're cold, but Bessie broke out the cloth napkins, so it's a serious party.
And Jack and Jen are going at it. They cannot agree on this New York thing.
Well, first, Gretchen pulls out of Pacey the info about Joey.
Yeah.
He says, can you keep a secret? Joey didn't get the finance. They say the word financial package so many times in this episode, and that hit my ear so weird. Like, I don't think I've ever heard the term financial package.
What term have you heard?
I mean, I guess just like
financial aid?
Yeah.
Financial aid package?
I don't know. Maybe it's just the word package is like throwing me off. I don't know why. But I mean, I understood it. It wasn't like, oh, this, I don't know. It's just very strange.
What I wanted to ask you was, did you and your friends apply to the same, like, was there ever a hope that you and your friends would go to the same schools, or like, was this ever a thing for you?
No, none of us really talked about it. Like, some people applied to the same schools, but it wasn't like, oh, we're going to go together. Like, some people really do that. Did you have that?
I ended up going to college with one of my really close friends, but we didn't plan it or anything. We both were just like, we both got in, you know, and then I'm going there. Oh my God, you're going there. You know, it wasn't a planned thing. I can't remember doing that with someone. I also don't know if I was really close enough really to do that with someone.
Yeah, I feel like my friends all kind of scattered to the wind.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. I guess a part of me always thought I would just stay in my hometown because like I never really gave much like existential crisis energy to the application process. So I was like, my parents stayed local. My brother stayed local. I was like, I doubt I'm going to go. And then I did.
Look at you now.
Look at me now. Thriving. Living the dream.
Thriving. No bursa. Living my best life.
No bursa.
So yeah, Jack and Jen, they're going at it.
Yeah. She's just basically like, look, the way you felt about like your house when you moved in with me, that's how I feel about New York. And he's like, girl, keep going to therapy. You're going to figure this out.
I love them. I love the two of them. She's like, can I please stop? Can I get out of this conversation, please? He's like, you keep going to therapy, girl. Got it.
I wouldn't have minded if this storyline with them was like more about them. I mean, I get that it's about Jen, but I wouldn't have minded it like more. It was a lot of Jen and Dr. Frost. I would have somehow tried to reconfigure it so it was more Jen and Jack.
Jack's a little bit of a ride along.
Yeah, and frankly, I've had it. So Mitch and Gail show up. Her pregnancy padding is flying all over the place. When she's walking up, she's like skipping. And that padding is flip-flopping about.
Also, what a bold choice. Why would she ever bring an envelope to Dawson in this moment? She's assuming that it's going to be an acceptance because it's a big fat envelope, but she doesn't know that for sure. And she was the one that was so devastated for him when he didn't get into NYU. And now she's going to risk him not getting into his second school in front of all his friends. I'm triggered.
Okay. What if she
opened it and then sealed it? I thought about that.
Like, she just boiled some water, put the envelope over the stove, steamed it out, and then resealed it.
Yeah.
She knows. But all I mean, it is a big envelope and it does have the big, you know, magazine. What is the word I'm looking for? The catalog?
So I'm sorry to report you did not get it. Here's free magazine.
Here's other schools that aren't as like Cape Side College.
So funny. Everyone says congratulations and he's like, where's Joey?
Except Joey's had it. She's like, Dawson's getting his dream and I'm not. I don't think so.
I'm out of here. She goes in the house, she's crying, and Dawson's like, hey Joe, and she's like, congratulations, and he goes, congratulations, Joey, you're a wreck. There are a lot of funny parts in this episode.
She's like, no, I'm fine. And Katie Holmes is giving us those tears that it's like I turned my dad in for drugs tears. Like the last time she cried like this, I really feel like was I'm wearing a wire.
She's upset.
Now, Pacey is not super thrilled for Dawson either. It's not a story point and there's no dialogue. But Joshua Jackson is playing it like he's a little jelly.
For sure, for sure.
Dawson's like, girl, you're a mess. Did you not get in? Are you waitlisted? And she's like, oh, I got in, but then I got their financial package.
A damn financial package.
I didn't get the money. And he's like, don't not go to your dream school over something as ridiculous as money.
Dawson, your privilege is showing. He's like, what do you need, babe? Rolls out a couple wads of hundreds and got you covered. She's like, doesn't matter what I want, Dawson. And he's like, but do you want it? She's like, yes.
I'm just the too tall girl from the wrong side of the creek.
I'll never have $15,000, even though I can borrow it from a bank. I'm just not going to.
What if they just recycled your Miss Windjammer monologue? I'm just the too tall girl from the wrong side of the creek, Dawson. It's just lipstick.
And hairspray. But he says, take Mr. Brooks's money. I'm serious. This is your entire future that we're talking about. You don't have to tell me now. Think about it. Really think about it.
And he's like, Mr. Brooks wanted me to do something great. And giving you your dream is something great.
Which, I mean, that's great.
Dawson's turned into such a good guy.
Who saw that coming?
Dawson haters are mad. Stay mad, haters. Dawson is evolved, self-aware, broken, a former shell of himself. But
couldn't care about anything. Deep depression.
And then Joey's in his room and she's looking at all the photographs again. But there's a photograph of her and Pacey in there. And he's like, I gotta get a picture of me and you in here. But is it weird that he hung a picture of Pacey and Joey? A little.
I mean, a little, but you know, brief glimpse of Meredith Monroe. I'm sure she got a little check for that.
He's like an emotional cutter.
He's like, I want to hurt every time I walk into my bedroom.
I want to wake up every morning and look at that picture of Pacey and Joey. And I want to relive the heartbreak of the regatta every goddamn day. The regatta.
Regatta. She says, I cannot take the money. And he's like, I need to understand. Why can't you let me help you? I've seen you go through so much pain in your life where your mom died.
This was so cute. He was like, this is the one time I can help you. Like, I've seen you grieve and I've seen you lose your dad and your dreams. And like, this is the one time I have the power to help you. This isn't about pity. And he's like, there's something here that I'm not seeing. Like, tell me what it is. And she's like, I just can't.
Yeah. He says, just let me. And she says, no, let me go. Jen and Dr. Frost.
So this is the scene where they realize it might have something to do with her dad. And he's like, And she says, I can't remember the last conversation I really had with him. And he's like, is there someone who could? And he brings up her boyfriend, who we know is Billy. And we kind of see her go like, So we're supposed to be like, is she going to reach out to Billy? We don't know. A little bit of a cliffhanger there. While Dawson goes to Pacey and is like, Pacey, you need to talk to her. I need to give her this money.
Yeah, I like that. I like that he went to Pacey. He's really looking for him to help him with this cause.
But as we know from Pacey's conversation with Gretchen, like, he's kind of glad that she didn't get into Worthington. So I think we're supposed to be asking ourselves, like, is Pacey going to talk to Joey or is he going to not talk to Joey and kind of lean into his selfishness?
Only time will tell. He's sorting through his CDs, making sure he's got everything in order.
Alphabetizing, probably.
Probably.
Then Jen goes to Drew and we find out that after Jen got caught with Billy, which is canon from season one, and the parents decided to ship her off to Graham's in Capeside, she called Drew. They spent her last night in New York City together. And she asks Drew what went on. And he's really cagey about the details. He won't tell her, which I thought this was like a brilliant use of the history, both the history that was existing and the history that we know that Jen and Drew, I mean, they're kind of making up this history on the fly. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was really brilliantly done.
In this first bit, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, you ravaged me and then your mom came in and joined. Like, he's making up a weird story just to piss her off. Classic Valentine stuff. Seriously, all these clothes are coming back. Jen's green corduroy jacket. Seen that on the streets lately.
So then we find out that Pacey took Dawson's words to heart. He's going to convince Joey to try to take it. And she's like, no, I don't want to. And he's like, girl, if I could give it to you, I would. I can't. Dawson can. So this is very big of Pacey to admit this, you know?
She's like, I'll just take a year off. I'll stay here. I'll raise the money and then I'll reapply. And he's like, no, days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. Years turn into decades. You're never going to go if you don't go now.
So real.
And then Drew shows back up at Jen's house in a real rare moment of vulnerability and earnestness and says, I could tell this really means something to you. I'm trying to apologize and I want to tell you what I know.
Here's what happened. You called me over. You were already on your way to Caveside. You were really angry with your dad. Your dad walked in on us hooking up. I don't think they did anything super sexual.
He said he had a crush on her and she wasn't really reciprocating.
Yeah, and she knew that he had a crush on her and she didn't really seem that into it. Like she was waiting for something and then her dad arrived and they got in a huge fight. He called her a slut. She called him a hypocrite. Then the dad kicked him out before he could really hear much more. And so Jen's kind of trying to process all this. She does apologize to Drew for kind of leading him on and using him. So this is Drew's like or villain origin story a little bit.
Yeah.
We know that he was bad news and they did drugs and stuff together. But is this kind of what broke his heart and turned him into?
Yeah. Hardened it a little bit.
I kind of love that we got that insight into him.
I like it as well.
But this is also coinciding with his dad cheating on his mom and then the dad running off with. So just Drew's villain origin story. I just like getting that insight, you know.
And it's nice to see him have a moment like this. He's definitely affected by it.
Yeah.
And Jen's happy that he let her in.
I love the actor. I think he has range and I think Drew's a great character.
Dawson's sitting at his desk and Joey shows up. He looks like he's a finance bro or something.
And she's like, look, the reason I can't take your money is because I'm not being honest with you. The night we ran into the movies, the night we had that amazing night together that felt like old times, you asked me a personal question and I couldn't answer it, but now I can. Pacey and I had sex on the ski trip.
And he is like, what?
I think JVDB is doing some amazing face acting. The devastation, the processing, the like world crumbling down around him, like years of just like imagining him and Joey doing it for the first time together. Like I think it's an impressive look.
I agree with you. And then I love what he says. She's like, I didn't know what to say. And he's like, you didn't give me a chance to understand. She's like, I didn't think you would understand. And he's like, you didn't even give me a chance to understand. And she's like, yeah. He points out that she didn't want him to feel like he wasn't the most important person in her world. And that is what I've been trying to say. She keeps trying to build him up and keep him on the hook. I was really glad to hear him say that.
Right. Yeah. This has been a point of contention for us.
Yeah.
I just feel like she doesn't owe him any explanations, but...
But also, I was really happy that she came to him and told him this. Like, I would have been so pissed if she took the money and he didn't know. And it, like, I get it. I get what you're saying. I do. I completely understand. And I think generally would agree, but I don't know. She lied to him. I feel like he should know if he's going to give her money for college. I think he's giving her money for college because he thinks that they're soulmates and meant to be together and maybe they'll lose their virginity to each other. I think that that's why he's giving her this money.
I think this is brilliant writing, and I think it's a brilliant kind of turn of events, and I think it's all very well crafted. Joey keeping the lie, Dawson making the sacrifice for her, you know, her saying no out of her guilt, him asking Pacey to talk to her, Pacey wrestling, like it's all very well crafted, but there is like an ickiness about it, and that is that Joey kind of confesses now, not to get the money, but like that's kind of the motivator for her to come forward with the truth. I don't think Joey should have to come forward with the truth to accept the money. I'm just saying there is a little bit of ickiness to it where she's only confessing now because she wants money, or there's a weird...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm taking it as she just feels really guilty that he was going to do this huge gesture for her and she lied to him. And that's why she's coming clean.
So you think she's coming clean? I didn't know whether she was coming clean to get the money or whether she's coming clean just to come clean, kind of a thing.
I think she's coming clean to come clean and to say to him, you cannot give me this money because I slept with Pacey. Like, I think in her mind, that's a deal breaker.
So in her mind, she's just giving Dawson the insight into why she doesn't want it. She's not expecting the money. Okay, I'll buy it.
That's how I'm taking it.
And then we go to Jen and Dr. Frost, and Jen is like telling Dr. Frost everything. And he's just kind of like, you're obviously blacking something out. You're repressing some type of memory. When you're ready for it, it'll come back to you. But she doesn't really know why she had such a bone to pick with her dad that night, like why her dad, not her mom, you know, why she went to such great lengths to get caught. Like there's a lot of things that are just kind of hazy for her. And the doctor's like, you will get the answers when you're ready for them.
You're a beautiful woman who deserves the world and more things than you could ever fathom. And you're the greatest, best thing ever. It's a very weird speech.
He's a creep. I can't stand him.
It was a little much.
I'm putting him in a box with Toby and what's his name?
AJ.
And Ty.
Ty, yeah.
I'm putting them in the box and I'm closing it. And I'm burying it. I'm letting it...
Lock it up.
I'm throwing it out to sea. He's like, look, maybe you'll find out the reason that you and your dad have these issues. Maybe you'll find out episode 418. I don't know.
Only time will tell. And then Joey tells Pacey that she finally told Dawson the truth, which she didn't know that Pacey knew that she lied to him in the first place.
That's a great point. Like, Pacey's been keeping this a secret because Gretchen told him. And Pacey's like, I have a confession too. Like, I'm kind of glad that you didn't get in. You know, I was glad when you weren't going to go to Worthington because I just feel like I'm not good enough. And I just feel like, you know, I'm always going to be tagging along and pulling you down. And the second you feel like I'm pulling you down, you have to break up with me. Promise me. And she's like, no, I never will let go of you.
He's like, you gotta cut me loose. He's like, no, I will not. I will not make you that promise.
The recurring theme of season 4 is that Pacey does not feel like he's good enough for Joey. It has reared its head probably like 6 or 7 times in different ways. But Pacey can just not get the self-esteem to the point where he feels like he's good enough for Joey.
It's an issue.
My word of advice to Pacey is this. In every relationship, someone's dating up, someone's dating down. Okay? No one dates evenly. I'm dating up. What am I going to do? Fight every day over it? No. They choose to be with you. Like, look, if you drag them down, that's on them.
They can leave. I'm not holding them there.
They better not. I'll go misery on their ass. But the point is, like, what are you supposed to do? Be evenly matched? No one's evenly matched.
No. And it's not even up or down. It's like...
No, it is.
No, but it's like in different sectors. People shine in different ways.
What ways do you think Pacey shines that Joey doesn't?
He's very supportive. Joey flies off the handle a lot and Pacey grounds her. I feel like that's something, like, emotionally, not like she's kooky. But
we didn't really talk about that. What did you think of Joey storming out of Dawson's good news? Like, that was kind of... I get that she's going through her kind of selfish.
She just lost it. She couldn't grit her teeth anymore. She had been doing it for the duration of the party. But yeah, no, totally. She's a mess.
Yeah.
She's a mess.
You know what I realized this episode is that I really think this whole season, we talked a little bit about the last episode, this whole season was crafted to redeem Dawson.
Yeah.
This whole season has been like, we need to put Dawson's image kind of forward now. How do we redeem this character that we destroyed season 3?
Yeah.
And I think they've been really good about giving him little moments where he's kind of bratty and selfish and like existential and all that stuff. But I think he always does the right thing this season and he always steps up and he's always selfless and a good friend. And I think it was a very conscious choice.
Yeah. Very even-keeled, very mature.
Yeah.
Or broken, like we've said. Either way, it's working.
Yeah. And even there, in the scenes when Pacey's like being the quote-unquote bad guy, not really. It comes from the root of his character, which is the self-esteem issues that his dad and his family have built, like, nailed into him. So it never really feels like Pacey's being selfish. It just feels like Pacey's being vulnerable, like, in admitting these things, you know?
Yeah.
I hope Pacey and Joey fans could be like, oh, Dawson is, like, a good guy. And I think season 3 is a bad season for him. But Dawson, I think, is a good guy. He's a good friend. I think he's a good friend of both of them.
Yeah, I agree.
He has their picture up in his room. He's obviously happy for them.
Yeah, and we'll get to it in the last scene, but he kind of says, like, look, I'm here. Last year didn't break us. Nothing's going to break us. Like, we're fine.
This is the scene I remember when I think of, like, season 4. I always remember this scene.
Jen and Jack?
No.
Oh.
Dawson on the pier. Oh. And
well, don't skip over Jen and Jack staring at the goldfish.
I was going to, because I hate this scene. I think it's so stupid.
It's so stupid. Dr. Frost told Jen if she stares at a goldfish for 10 minutes, her memories will come back. And Jack's like, what are we doing? I think that you're actually crazy. And she's like, do you want to go to New York or not? Help me out. And then, yeah, Dawson is at Joey's. And I mean, that was from a promo, right? That crane down shot of Dawson standing on the dock. It had to be.
Yeah.
And he says, Bessie said I could wait here. And she's like, I'm a little surprised to see you. And he's like, I think we underestimate each other. The thing that she said in the previous scene when she told him about Pacey was that she didn't want to tell him because the other night at the movie theater, things felt normal between them. And they felt like they were in a really good place. And she just knew that if she told him, it would break them out of that place. And he's like, what you felt the other night was real and true. And we are in a good place. And and I want you to have the money.
He's like, nothing's going to break us apart. If last year didn't break us apart, you and Pacey sleeping together won't. I really don't know how I feel about that yet. I'm going to process that as I move forward. But one thing I'm certain about is that we love each other. And I want you to have this. And he hands her the check.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't wait to see what you do. And I can't wait to hear all about it.
I can't wait for you to call me from Worthington.
And she takes that check and she says, thank you. Thank you.
They have a nice sweet hug and we leave them there.
So the college, we must assume that Dawson is going to USC. We must assume for now that Jack and Jen are going to go to New York. They're going to figure this out. PC's plan is to follow Joey to Worthington, which I believe is in Boston. And that's where everyone is at the end of this episode. Will it shake out that way? We don't know.
Only one way to find out.
So I do want to say, Quido, what you watching?
Yeah. What you watching?
What you watching? What are you watching? I see first, I see second.
What are you watching?
I just binged Overcompensating.
Oh my God, I love it.
I love it. So I actually was like, I'm really jealous of Benny Benito Skinner. And so I was not watching it for a long time, but I finally watched it and James Vanderbeek is in it and he's amazing in it. For a small part, but
so good.
I really cannot recommend the show enough. I think it's the perfect blend of like silly and heart. And I go from like laughing hysterically to like crying, not crying, but like getting emotional. And it's just such a little love letter between like gay guys and their girl best friends in college. And it's so cute.
It's so cute. It's really, really good. It's really, there's a feeling that I have when I watch certain shows where I'm like, it sounds so stupid to say, but like inspired, like it makes me want to make something good. Like it like lights a fire inside me. And I felt that way watching it.
Absolutely. Some of the things, you know, because like I pitch shows with my writing partner around and like a lot of people, we are that tone. We're very silly, silly, silly. But like we like our shows to kind of have like meaning and heart in the last few, just when it needs to, when it counts, have that gut punch. And a lot of people just like don't get it. They're just like, how can you be so silly? And then,
sure.
You know, so I feel like tonally, this will be a good show to point to people for our writing style, which is silly, silly. You can't have heart at the end. And you could be on two different ends of the spectrum, but it blends nicely. Like they do a really good job of blending it. And just storyline wise, like every episode kind of ended with a little bit of a cliffhanger. It wrapped up the episode, but then I just really liked it. I thought it was great. The biggest thing is like, I just kind of forget that Amazon Prime exists. I just never open it.
Totally.
I just never open it. I do Hulu, Paramount, Peacock, Apple. I just always forget about Prime.
No, I'm completely the same. I never would have stumbled upon that show if you hadn't said you were watching it.
So good. It was actually someone DM'd us and was like, James Vanderbeek is hilarious and overcompensating. You need to watch it. But this was like 3 months ago. I like totally put it off.
Well, thank you, because it was great.
You know what's not giving me fantasy vibes is The Summer I Turned Pretty season 3.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that. We're going to have to talk about that when it's over.
We could save it.
Save it.
We'll save it. So what's the Dawson's drink for 418?
For episode 418 Eastern Standard Time, we will be drinking The Daddy. It's scotch, simple syrup, ginger beer, mint, ginger, and sugar.
Not The Daddy.
The Daddy.
Could this have something to do with Jen's dad? I don't know.
Could be.
Or will Mitch become a daddy?
Is Gretchen pregnant?
Or will Dawson become a daddy? Look, there's possibilities are endless.
Truly. Well, I can't wait to find out.
Me neither.
Talk to you then.
Bye.